The Silent Room by Mary Hanna, read by Tim Bruce. Chapter 1. Jason Irwin locked his prison van. No armed escort today. The only copper he'd see for the rest of his shift was securely handcuffed in the back, a disgrace to his profession according to the grapevine, suspended from special branch on allegations of misconduct, something to do with illegal firearms. His name was Jack Fenwick. Flicking away his cigarette, Irwin climbed aboard and fastened his seatbelt. Waiting for the thumbs up from security, he rammed the vehicle in gear and pulled away, keen to get rid of his last delivery. As he cleared the exit gate, he head-checked the road, turning left towards Newcastle Quayside, his eyes scanning the front steps of the Crown Court as he passed by. Outside the sandstone building, a gang of scruffy youths gave him the one-finger salute as he stopped at traffic lights, their eyes full of hatred. Not long ago, Irwin had transported one of the group into the care of Her Majesty, exactly where he belonged in his opinion. Loser. He turned right and immediately put his foot down, watching the group get smaller in his rear view. Crossing the River Tyne via the swing bridge, he drove up a steady incline, following the signs to the south and on through Gateshead, as the autumn drizzle worsened. Not perfect conditions for driving, but hey, he couldn't have everything. It was Friday. Tomorrow he'd be Cyprus-bound, spending half-term with his family, a pocketful of euros and nothing to do for 2 whole weeks. Irwin made good time. Somewhere close to the border between Tyneside and Durham, the sky darkened and the wind got up. The rain increased in intensity, until it was almost impossible to see through the windscreen, even with the wipers on full pelt. Their inability to do the job they were designed for was not lost on his new colleague, Philip Story. Story was a posh boy, a graduate in Roman archaeology from Durham University. Even with an impressive degree, he'd struggled to find work in his field of expertise. He'd been forced to seek other employment to pay for his flat. The alternative was to go home and live with his parents, a fate worse than death, apparently. They, and he, for that matter, thought security work was beneath him. Taken on by the company less than 3 weeks ago, with minimal training, the lad had found fault with everything. The pay and conditions, the early mornings, and currently the state of the wipers, a thin strip of which had broken away and was flapping across the windscreen like a small black eel.
"Welcome to the private sector," Irwin said.
"You should complain," Story grumbled.
"On what grounds?"
"We have a right to health and safety. It's illegal not to be able to see through the glass." Story's tone was flat, disinterested. "How long have you been doing this poxy job anyhow?"
12 years, give or take.
"On 15 grand?
"You're doing it."
"Only as a stopgap."
"Don't knock it, son. It puts food on the table."
As Irwin turned his attention back to the road, a red light forced him to depress the brake pedal. Stopping the van, he glanced at his watch. Right on schedule. He'd make Durham Prison by 4. He waited for Amber, impatient for his shift to end, to be rid of the jumped-up kid sitting by his side. Story had riled him once too often this week. What was so special about scratching around in the dirt, anyhow? At least his was a proper job. A dark blue Clio pulled up behind. The volume on its radio turned up so high it could be heard in the next county. The driver was singing along to Coldplay's Yellow, his body swaying to the drumbeat. He was wearing a peaked cap and sunglasses. Optimistic, Irwin thought. Unless... too late. The soundtrack stopped as an Audi A6 overtook at speed, screeching to a halt in front of the prison van, boxing him in. Pressing his alarm, Irwin floored the accelerator, ramming the car. It hardly budged. Selecting reverse gear, he did the same to the Clio behind. He was about to repeat the action when two men emerged from the Audi pointing sawn-off shotguns at his windscreen, gesturing for him to vacate his vehicle.